Between lightning and thunder, 3 seconds the gap. A warm candle glow keeps this wood room from black. My cat, she sleeps on an old clippy mat, purring out echoes, a faint pitter-pat.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Perennial Porridge Pot. I'm your presenter, Roger Meacham. Porridge Pot? Well, I imagine listening to tales and poetry in a Scottish bothy, somewhere out on the Coal Hills. It's dark, but cosy, and we are sitting around a porridge pot which has been pressed into service as a stew pot for the evening. Everyone in the bothy has put something into the pot for the stew. For this podcast series, your stories and poems will be your contributions. If you are able to join the community of writers called the Lemon Tree Writers, your work can be included in a future podcast. Go to lemontreewriters.co.uk. This podcast presents a short story called Lockdown Babe, written by Brenda Conn. We'll begin with Brenda reading this.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear me. Happy birthday to me. I sing this twice under my breath every time I wash my hands, as I was taught from time before memory. No need. The tap sensors beeps when I'm done. Today, however, is my birthday, so I sing aloud, with as much joy as I can muster. Off key, flat, who cares? No one's listening. I was born on Monday, 23rd March, 2020, while Boris Johnson announced the beginning of lockdown. As the surgeon's scapula pierced my mother's belly, Boris began.
The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced in decades. And this country is not alone.
Coronavirus was certainly the biggest threat that I had faced throughout my 27 weeks since conception. Surviving as a fetus had been a breeze until then.
All over the world, we are seeing the devastating impact of this invisible killer.
COVID-19 precipitated my untimely entry into the world and signalled my mother's demise from it. Here in Aberdeen, the devastating impact of this invisible killer certainly was being seen and felt. Grandparents I never met mourned a daughter they could not see, kept alive to keep me alive. A baby they had not expected would never hold.
At present, there are no easy options. The way ahead is hard, and it is still true that many lives will sadly be lost.
Just then, I was struggling to breathe. This was no easy option. Lungs woefully unready for the challenge. The way ahead proved hard indeed. Has continued so ever since. My lungs have never functioned fully, leaving me high risk, permanently shielded. The life I have is not the life that might have been. Many lives sadly were lost. In what might have been my family, all. First was that of my mother. Life support ended when I exchanged an incubator for the warmth of her womb. At times, I wish I'd remained in that familiar space, gone with her to whatever lies beyond. Within weeks, my grandparents joined her. Sometimes I think heaven, hell, whatever, might be preferable to this no life. Friendlier, maybe. Just sometimes, when I'm down.
There will come a moment when no health service in the world could possibly cope.
Calculating backwards, I assume I was a casualty of Freshers' Week. In social history, I read that casual sex was a thing back then. Imagine! Was my father a new student like my mother? 18 like her? Her first? Her only? One of many? Did she tell him about me? Would he have wanted to know? I have no answers to so many questions. All I do know is that my existence was unrecorded until my mother's admission to hospital with COVID-19, 2 weeks before my birth. She had consulted no doctor, attended no antenatal screening, gestational diabetes and arrhythmia went undiagnosed. COVID hit her hard and fast. If only my mother hadn't hidden her pregnancy from her parents, from everyone. If only she'd stayed away from friends, virus carriers, newly back from ski trip abroad. If only she'd evaded infection or escaped with a mild form of the illness. If only. So many alternative outcomes right to the last. If only hospital staff had managed to save her, I might have known a mother's love, a mother's kisses, a mother's touch.
The critical thing we must do is stop the disease spreading between households.
The only touch I have ever known has been professional, gloved, sanitized. From incubator to ward, from hospital to the care system, my life has been shielded. I've never mixed with other children. It's always been just me, random carers, random houses, homeschooling. Physical safety, internet security, forever paramount. And 8 kids on curated social media in the virtual world as avatars, never real faces, kept safe from pedos. I'm lockdown babe. Until now, a cute piglet after an old film I saw in junior media. Avatar images stud my computer screen daily, a kaleidoscope of virtual friendship. We play virtual reality games, watch virtual reality bands, play digitally created music, hang out virtually. I should never feel lonely, but I do. I do.
I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
From today, I'm no longer an invisible, cared-for child. I'm a shielded adult, with adult choices, nominally independent, enrolled in tertiary online education modules, living in Esselmont House, a block of multi-generational accommodation in the deserted city centre. I read about Esselmont in my local history module. It formed some sort of shop, a department store, way back, last century. It's converted to shielded housing now. Temperature controlled, filtered air conditioning, UVA disinfection system, eco-sanitation, the lot. Even on-demand piped oxygen, brilliant for lungs like mine. Simplified living, it's called, all courtesy of government social shielding emergency funds. I have a studio apartment, a computer with inbuilt camera, internet access, high-speed fiber optic cabling, mini freezer, microwave. Provisions arrive through a robot-operated delivery flap. Mondays, 7 dinners, 7 lunches of soup, 7 breakfasts of fruit, all frozen. Wednesdays, sleepwear, bedding, overall, 7 sets of underwear. Fridays, vitamins, meds, tampons, as needed. Everything is biodegradable, flushable, disposable, transformed to heating fuel on site. All deliveries are assembled, packed, sanitized, disposed of, without ever being touched by human hand. Except mine.
If you don't follow the rules, the police will have the powers to enforce them.
I need never go cold or hungry. I need never go outside. I can never go outside. That's the rule.
We will beat the coronavirus, and we will beat it together.
Boris was wrong. Early promise of a vaccine came to nothing. The virus moved faster than the science. Lockdown is a way of life. Safety, a prison cell. Coronavirus won. We live with it, we die with it. Alone. Always alone. Happy birthday, babe.
Thanks, Brenda. That was Brenda Conn reading Lockdown Babe, her story set 16 years after COVID-19 hit the world. If anyone is listening to this in 2036, here's a message from 2020. Thank goodness there's still someone there. Now, here in 2020, with theatres and cinemas closed, or opening under strict social distancing conditions, there have been a few monologues revived, or produced, for our entertainment, Alan Bennett's Talking Heads among them. I complimented Brenda on the aptness of the format of Lockdown Babe.
I didn't write it thinking in terms of Talking Heads, but I realised after I'd written it that it's definitely got that feel about it. So obviously influenced by Bennett, I guess. But yes, it would be quite good as a sort of Talking Heads type thing.
You know, your story is set in Scotland, Brenda. You've chosen to write it in a standard English. It was only when I arrived in Scotland that I realised there were other forms of English spoken here. A couple of previous Porridge Pot episodes have included Doric words and phrases, and they're often linked to the northeast of Scotland, which is where you and I are at the moment. You yourself originate from the southern highlands of Scotland, I believe. And you showed me a poem you'd written called Voices. I'd like to read the first 3 lines. Mine is a Scottish voice, sent to allocution lessons at an early age. Now, Brenda, if you'll forgive my tragically un-Scottish voice reading this, the next line is, "Gie us a hurl on your back, Dad." The first 3 lines were easy to understand for anyone who's used to standard English. The 4th line, "Gie us a hurl on your back, Dad," give us a go on your bike, Dad. We can hear the child's voice in that. I include this extract of your poem because I think that you, like others, have had to work to recover the language you had as a child.
That's right, yes. I don't know whether it's a feature of sort of baby boomer generation and parents that are full of post-war aspirations for their children to do well. But yes, it was seen as not what they wanted, was to have me sort of shouting in the street in a broad accent.
I can just hear you shouting, "Give us a go on your bike." Now, Brenda, on to the next question. I asked if you would share some of the authors who you love reading and whose style might have influenced you. You enthusiastically recommend Margaret Atwood, but perhaps a couple more?
I like so many different ones. I mean, I've got a little pile of books beside me here. So one that I thoroughly recommended was the Midwinter Break by Bernard McCafferty, which is just lovely. And it starts off, it seems quite gentle, but it's actually quite relentless in really looking into the nitty-gritty of the relationship of this particular couple. And of course, there is tragedy within that relationship. And it's just really worth reading. And it's totally different from, for instance, this is one I haven't mentioned to you, Milkman by Anna Burns, which was one that I had to read for the book group that I'm in. And I struggled. I absolutely struggled to get through it, mainly because it's very dense. It's almost stream of consciousness. And it's written in very much an Irish voice. So you have to read it in an Irish voice, a Northern Irish voice. And it is, of course, about the time of the Troubles. And ultimately, over many months of reading it, I decided it was absolutely brilliant. So I would recommend it, but you need quite a bit of staying power to get through it.
Thanks for that. Finally, Brenda, I'm keen in this series of podcasts to show the alternative faces of Scotland. Something more than haggis and kilts, Braveheart and Rob Roy. I've nothing against kilts. Some of my best friends... Well, anyway, what have you got to tell me about alternative Scotland?
Yes, it's very alternative. So, Cultibraggan Camp, Camp 21, which was a black camp back in the wartime, World War II. And it was originally housed for Italian prisoners of war. And it was just sort of a base camp for them, and they could go out working in the fields, helping the farmers, etc. But as the war progressed, it became used practically exclusively for German prisoners of war. So there was a grading system. So white prisoners wore a white patch on the clothing, and that indicated they had no Nazi sympathies. And then grey was sort of neutral, and black was the ones who really were ardent Nazis. So there were about 4,500 of them in this camp at one time. And it's just rows and rows of these Nissen huts, which I would have seen as we passed when we were going to visit my grandparents quite regularly. And I don't know if I really knew the significance of that, because at that time it would have been Ministry of Defence used as a training camp. So quite innocuous, really. But it's now been taken over and it's being developed as tourist attraction. And it's building up. It's interesting just to go there and sort of feel the atmosphere of the place.
A high security prisoner of war camp at Cultibraggan near Crieff in central Scotland. That's a place to visit. Thanks once more, Brenda. And as we reach the end of this podcast, can I remind listeners to visit the Lemon Tree Writers website, where you'll find Brenda Conn's short story, Lockdown Babe, and also a copy of her poem, Voices. Our theme opening and endings are from Rain by songwriter Martin Stevenson, sung here by Helen McCookery Book. Our next podcast is in a month's time, the 10th of September 2020. Do please leave comments and suggestions. Remember, if you would like to have your work broadcast, get in touch through lemontreewriters.co.uk. Goodbye until then.
My subconscious and I are back on speaking terms. He's sending me colours and beautiful words. And far, far away are the harsh city folk. I'm surrounded